It's August 12th, Sunday.
Easter.
I never say that unless it's rolling.
A little hard of hearing. So. You gave a date then, did you?
I did.
Oh, well, I'm behind the dance.
Shall we pray?
Shall we could pray.
Oh, yes, Lord, by your Spirit. We ask that your presence would be with us today, O Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your presence at our meetings, O Lord. We thank you that your truth is something that you have made available to us, I believe. We haven't done much of anything to deserve it, I don't think. But you have, in your gracious way, you have extended your spiritual truth, or at least a portion of it, to us, and we thank you for that. We ask for more of that, and that you do a work in us so that we can receive that truth, receive it, and have it do the work that you would have it done in us, Lord. Oh, by your Spirit. That work would be done today. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You know, pray for parking back that way?
Yeah.
Somehow, we get the impression that we deserve something. And grace means unmerited favor.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think what happens a lot of times, I think God allows us to go through things so that we get to the place that we know we didn't deserve what we get. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I don't deserve what I get. The scriptures are very open in the things that God wants us to understand. But remember how Jesus told the Jews, he says, you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. And so what has happened is, to the church, is they have made Jesus a God-man, God the Son. And but Jesus comes along and he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? In a couple of different places, when the Son of Man returns, you know, what's he going to find? And I thought of this verse 5 up on the board here. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the Son of Man, Christ Jesus. He was a Son of Man, as well as being the Son of God. We're sons of God, too. And what he did is there are all kinds of scriptures that prove to us that Jesus is not, at this point, is not God. And when the disciples saw him, they said, it's a spirit. And he says, come and touch me. Touch me. He said, does a spirit have flesh and bones? It doesn't say anything about blood, but does a spirit have flesh and bones? How many people know that? Or have ever seen that scripture or are even aware of the scripture? But I realized that that was a verse that was put in years ago to offset this idea that Jesus is a God-man, you know, or is a spirit. He said, I'm not a spirit. I'm flesh and bones. And was there blood too? I don't know.
Well, flesh is blood.
Huh?
Yeah, flesh is blood and bones.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it's kind of
flat.
And the blood is necessary for the flesh. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but he plays down the idea that he's a deity. And he does that a number of times.
Uh-huh.
He eats with them. He says, is there anything here for me to eat? And he gave a broiled or a fish or a honeycomb or something. And so to show him that he ate or could eat, and when they had the fish by the fire and he would, you know, with the disciples, I would imagine he ate with them. But the thing is, there are no, you know, people don't see the scriptures that are to make it obvious that he is not, that he is a man. And he's still a man. And I was thinking this last week, the scripture setting, and it's in the second chapter of Luke. And I want to show you something. It's in the second chapter of Luke. And we're all familiar with this. A lot of things got to put into this whole scripture setting. I didn't know that this happened this early. It was in the second chapter of Luke where it's already talking about where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees or whoever it was, and at the age of 12. My Bible's too heavy.
Would be in verse 46.
Yeah. Anyway, and he said, you know, told his mother and his dad, he said, "How is it that you look for me? Did you not understand that I have to be about my father's business?" Well, that's kind of a strange statement for a 12-year-old. It's a strange statement all the way around. Well, anyway, so then, and here's what started. Well, let's go back to verse 40. No, he's God the Spirit. He's Spirit. Is he Spirit? And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. I thought he knew everything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Read here. And then 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Man, he increased. Didn't he always have those things? How could he get wisdom? How could he gain wisdom? Are you following what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me the other day, and I thought, you know what? He was a man.
Mm-hmm.
God made him as a man. I'm not saying he's exactly like us, but he was a man. And he grew, he got wisdom, he gained stature.
You know, the Trinitarians have that line about how he was fully God and fully man. Well, I don't think that can be. You are fully man, you are only man. You know, part of being fully man is to be have the limitations that man had. So you can't do that and then also be God. You can't do that. If you're fully man, you're only man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I came across a scripture setting that addresses this too, and was based on, I remember, and it, I just happened to find it, in Luke 5:25, well, let's go back. It's Jesus, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. And I thought, I am sure this is one of the settings that the Trinitarians want to use. Because they're assuming they're glorifying